Fresno, I have to do that once a month.
The bacterial count on the water.
The water, for the Fresno count. So you stayed there for 3 months and came to...
3 months. I was only substituting for Dr. Leger, who was a middle-aged woman. And I was younger, and I guess I was always much younger than I should be. Not old enough to know anything. Anyway, the boys used to hang around and talk, and they would catch the guinea pigs for me. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in medical school, I couldn't stand sticking my hand into the slimy frogs. So my partner in physiology used to catch the pig, the frogs, and I would destroy the brain. You know, put that long needle in the back
and yeah.
crush
yeah.
it. Well, at least I put them out of their misery.
Mm-hmm.
Because they still had their reflexes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So Mary wrote me just a few months ago and said she'd like to visit me this summer. But I didn't feel well enough, and I haven't answered her yet.
Mm.
So you came back to San Francisco, opened your own office?
I didn't until the 30s.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned you were across the street from Margaret Chung, so you were like fellow women physicians?
No. Margaret and I were she was a homo.
Oh.
I mean, she was a lesbian. Mm. I didn't know until later.
There's always a rumor.
That she went for her nurses.
But
and,
did she...
But her sister was her receptionist and nurse.
Which sister was that?
One of her sisters.
I see.
And then Charlie Lowe of the Lowe Apartments
uh-huh.
is an in-law.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one that opened Forbidden City.
Yes.
And then Margaret and Charlie Lowe were the first to open a cocktail bar in China. And that was a Chinese village in the basement.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Margaret used to drape herself in ermine and diamond and so forth and entertain the guests. And she had quite a following from Hollywood. And one night, when I was late at the office, a girl came dashing into my office, and her name was Julie Cruz, the daughter of the famous, what was his name? James Cruz,
mm-hmm.
producer.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And she was 17 or 18 years old. And she says, "You've got to help me." I said, "Help you with what? What's wrong?" She looked all right. She looked a little worn. And she said, "Well, I've just come in from Portland." And I said, "Well, what's the matter?" And she said, "Well, I have to have a fix." She said, "I missed my package."
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, "Well, I can't do that." And she said, "Did you ever try it?" And I said, "No." "Well, then you haven't lived." And I said, "Well, I think I'm satisfied with the way I'm living, so I wouldn't give it to you." Mind you, dope began with the upper class.
The fast crowd, even then.
Even in the Depression.
Yeah.
But you have your office in Chinatown, Jackson Street.
715 Sacramento Street.
Uh-huh.
But it's no longer there. I went by there about a year or two ago and saw that it was torn down for something else.
So at that time, your patients were Chinese mainly?
No.
No.
Even
it's in Chinatown, mostly?
Even in Chinatown, for some reason, I had men, I had Caucasians.
How did they hear of you? Word of mouth?
I don't know.
But they were Chinese patients,
though? Of some. But they didn't pay their bill.
So how long were you in Chinatown, Jackson?
Until I was married.
Uh-huh, in the 1940s. Yeah, earlier you mentioned about how you met your husband. So you were actually introduced.
Through John Fanny.
Uh-huh, the famous artist.
Huh.
Women artist. So
the goddaughter of the famous artist.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Just hot water. The tea's gotten a little strong.
So then you came to Oakland after you got married?
Oh, I came to Oakland and lived in one of those four houses belonging to the man who couldn't even pay for my delivering his daughter, who is now a teacher.
I see.
In South County.
And you opened your office again in Oakland, or you sort of worked for the hospital right away?
I always thought that working in Chinatown, I could help the poor. Only I turned out to help the American poor more than the Chinese poor.
Well, it all comes out even.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
I guess my mind is American. People ask me, do you think in Chinese or do you think in American? I said, I don't know. I hope I think.
That's well enough.
Yeah, you also mentioned about Dr. Leung, that she did not get the scholarship while you got four.
She wanted to go to Vienna in those days. Mm-hmm. If you were a surgeon and never had any experience in the Viennese hospitals, you weren't tops. And she wanted to go to Vienna.
What's her name?
Leung Ai-man.
She's not related to the first Chinese women dentist?
No.
The Leung Hei So?
No.
Okay, so I thought it was the same one.
No, her family were in Chinese rugs and were a very wealthy family. But when the parents died, the boys took over and they didn't know a thing about rugs and ran it to the ground. But she took medicine, and she did well. At age 30, she was dean of women.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely person.
Dean of women at where? What?
At Hackett Medical.
Oh, marvelous.
Canton Christian College.
I see. Brilliant lady.
So all through your, all these wonderful experiences, you always felt that, you're very independent and did very successfully,
well,
dealing with American.
No, when I went to I may have told you that in Los Angeles, I don't know. When I went to Philadelphia, Miss Cameron was afraid that going into science, and especially into medicine, I would lose faith in the Christian religion. And she wanted me to take a year in a religious school. So I went to the Bible College of the Presbyterian and Reformed Churches on Spruce Street. And she wrote to Miss Alice, who was on the Board of Foreign Missions. And Miss Alice said, oh, I'm very glad to hear that one of your girls is going into medicine. Tell Bessie that my home will be her home in Philadelphia. And that's a long story. I won't bore you with that. But I was very popular because when she wasn't in Washington, I mean when she was home and not in Washington with her cousin Knox. What was Knox during Hoover's administration?
Navy?
I guess.
Or Treasury?
I don't know.
Treasury or the Secretary of Navy?
One of the two.
When she wasn't there with Knox, she would
That's as far
me,
as I go, too.
She would give me her tickets to the Parquet Circle
at
the Philadelphia Symphony. And then if she was home and wasn't in Washington, she would call up and say, Bessie, will you bring some of your classmates? And I could invite six or eight of them for Sunday dinner, and believe me, it tasted awfully good to starving medical students. So I was very popular.
Did you feel that you were very different from the rest of the either Chinese women or American women, or you have the opportunity to pursue what you like to do, and you insist on doing it, and you get what you want?
No.
While the other Chinese women probably just obeyed the parents.
I think from the time I was born, I just felt I was just another person.
Mm-hmm. never felt that you should be told as a, what a woman should be
no,
doing?
I objected to that very much. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the cook cutting, chopping corn, I was just a little girl, 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old. I thought I could do it too, it looked so easy. The cook.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law and sister had all the restaurants
mm-hmm.
and boarding houses up there.
Yeah.
So I went and chopped and almost chopped off this finger of the scars too.
Yeah.
But you always had the courage to try it.
I was more of a boy. I found the boys much more interesting mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I would play girl, I mean play lady, mm-hmm. and wear my sister's clothes. And we charged straight hem pins for admission.
Mm-hmm.
And we put on plays and things. But if there were any boys around doing anything interesting, I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you said that your brother-in-law was strongly against you going to school.
Like, oh, he wouldn't let me go.
Right. How did your father feel about after he found out when he came back from China that you were going to a higher education? Did he feel very proud of you, or he still tried to stop you from going? Or at
no,
that
no.
time you were very independent?
By that time I was 14. And he felt it was time for me to go and get acquainted with my family, and secondly, marry off another daughter.
So he still insists on taking you back?
Oh, they had Chu Jai Lo and farmers and all kinds of fellows.
And that's why you decided to go to Cameron? That was the time you decided
to
go
when my father was going to take me to China.
Uh-huh.
He had bought my passage.
Uh-huh.
So that's when I was up.
After that, your father never came back to U.S. or?
No, he was kidnapped
uh-huh.
by the bandits.
In China?
For $10,000, he and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
The little brother that was born after they went.
Mm-hmm.
He retired and he made the sad mistake of saying, Dalai Gakwatum Pala Gatsam.
What does that mean?
Huh. That means even if I'm paralyzed, I'll be able to live.
So he...
And the bandits heard about it, and they took my youngest brother and him. And when the money, 10,000 American dollars in 18?
Mm-hmm. That's in China, right?
Uh-huh.
And so he never...
He didn't survive it?
No, he survived, but my brother did.
Oh.
Mm. My brother was killed and cooked.
Boiled in water?
No, suicide.
They didn't eat him or anything,
no,
did they?
No, suicide.
Oh, I see.
And then
immolated.
And bangugasi on the front door. So when you open the front door, this thing fell in. And the only way my mother recognized him was from her song.
Oh my God. What a
so your father
story.
Survived, and your father
but
got back.
But he was never well.
And he
that.
Didn't want to
that
come back.
That affected
here
him.
And he was never well after that. He may have had a stroke from it.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother, they purposely let my brother escape to come back here, and to go to Hong Kong to our relative to borrow the money.
The older brother.
Yes, the one brother that I do know.
Oh, I see. I see.
And that's how you met him.
No.
You
we both went to Lima,
mm-hmm.
California.
Oh, okay.
Up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
my brother, on account of his diabetes, never had good eyes.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And liked to play hooky. So he didn't go through school.
Uh-huh.
After you married your husband, Sam, you mentioned that you had to go down to Southern California quite often for official activities.
Well, not only Southern California, all over, wherever he was sent.
In Southern California,
no,
though?
No, in California, wherever he was sent in California. But when we went to Tijuana,
mm-hmm.
then the Mexicans embraced him and called him, I think, what was it? Pancho or Tia or something. And oh my, such going to the hunt, I never saw.
You were probably then perhaps even forced to participate in various ceremonies and dinners. Do you remember the ceremonious structure of Chinatown, say in Los Angeles, very much? Like, who would put on the dinners? Was it the CCBA or anything like
no.
that?
Because my husband was the big cheese, you know.
But you had to attend
oh,
a lot of
course,
these ceremonial
of course.
Events.
Of course.
And speeches?
Oh, yes.
And the people, or are there any people from the Southern California region who were leaders that stand out, perhaps?
No,
in your
I
mind now?
So
yeah. What about Y.C. Hong, the very short man?
Oh, well, Y.C. Hong and my husband knew each other very well.
They were good friends?
His brother Ernest was a particular good friend of Y.C.'s and his wife and me.
I see. Lifelong then?
Not lifelong, but good
yeah.
friends.
Uh-huh.
Well, who are the most memorable, say, figures in to your, you know, life that you would like to
mention? Well, Dean Yost of Stanford, because I was always so busy socially that when the exams came, I was sure I was going to pass. And I would phone Miss Cameron and tell her I'm coming home, and I'd go to Miss Yost and say, I can't take the exams, I'm dropping out. And Miss Yost would, I have her picture, Miss Yost would say, you're doing all right now, just take your exams, you'll pass.
You mentioned earlier, too, that I think you had met Madam Chiang Kai-shek.
Oh, that was at the dinner that Governor Ngo gave in New Orleans at Santa, what is it, Antoine's?
The famous restaurant, huh?
Yeah. And...
What was this occasion?
Well, the occasion was General Chennault was dying.
Oh, this is...
Instead of calling her father, she called me. He nearly died that morning from a hemorrhage.
I see.
And that was in July, I think.
Early 50s, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And she said, may I talk to Mommy? And she said, Mommy, the general nearly died this morning. Can you come right away?
Mm-hmm.
And that hurt her father's feelings terribly. So I grabbed the first plane out.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed me for moral support because he was in such dire straits physically that the doctors notified his other family in Monroe, Louisiana.
Yes.
And he had only 8 of them. And then there was the big brouhaha over who was to be at the dinner. And Anna went out. They had their dinner upstairs, the aide.
Uh-huh.
And we were with Madam Chiang and the mayor. Wow.
Madam Chiang came especially because the general was dying? Wow.
And so Governor Ngo, his daughter's in San Francisco, I had to drop her because I couldn't go to all the dinners and fashion shows and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I simply just quit answering her with cards and letters and notes.
The daughter is a member of the social scene over here?
Oh, very much.
I see. Yeah.
Multi-millionaire.
What's your remembrance of Madam Chiang? I guess not much.
Madam
it was a very
Chiang.
Short...
No, Madam Chiang to me... was awfully distant.
Yeah.
At the, as I told you, I was at the, in the receiving line since my husband was second.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that instead of mingling with the crowd or eating at the head table,
mm-hmm.
she put herself on the podium
mm-hmm.
and just sat there
mm-hmm.
as if she was something to be, to behold. And then it was at that thing that the joke that we always pull, is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah.
And I became that doctor. Because all the brass and all the important people had gone. But we who were in the receiving line had to stay until the last cow came home.
Oh yes, that's the way it is.
Oh.
The receiving lines.
And so... Who do you suppose the patient was? Had a stroke.
You mean there was an actual problem, medical problem during
yes.
that occasion?
Yes.
Oh, no.
And a famous person, an important person.
I wouldn't know.
She was Mrs. Thaddeus T. White.
Oh.
One of the ladies in waiting to the late Empress Dowager.
Oh my goodness.
And he refused to have her admitted to the hospital.
Why is that?
Because he didn't believe in doctors.
Oh my goodness.
And the reason for it was because they had one child, and he was 15 when he got leukemia.
Yeah.
And they went to doctors and doctors and hospitals and hospitals, and nothing could be done. And they lost their child. And I said, well, she's got to go because she's had a stroke. And something could happen. I mean, she could have another stroke, or she would be unable to void.
Yeah.
And we'd have to catheterize her.
Yes.
And he said, no, I have healing in my hand.
Oh, you become one of those.
And they were at the Hotel Carlton up here in Berkeley. And I had to go there and stay with her.
Yeah.
But she loved beauty so much that she felt of my dress. And she said, oh, that's beautiful. It makes me think of the old days. And I said, what do you mean old days? My old days in Peking. And I said, what about your old days in Peking? Well, Isabel, your husband's first wife and I were very good friends. And we used to go to dancing parties. Isn't that interesting?
Small world. Always.
But that crazy Thaddeus T. White, he was an American in China who was, I asked Sam, I said, what in the world was he doing in China? And he said he was a promoter.
But he somehow got connected with the court.
And he managed to marry one of her ladies in waiting.
Oh, she was Chinese.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote The Buddha. She wrote a couple of books and so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, an author as well.
Yes.
Authoress.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That I should be the, really the doctor in the house.
You always think of that as the usual joke, but it turned out that you needed one.
And then I called up for a bedpan, and it was $3.50 and 2.5 for delivery, because it was after 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And all the drugstores were closed where I could have bought one for $3.50 brand new. And I called Abby, and that's what Abby charged.
Abby Rents?
Uh-huh. Abby Medical Rents. But fortunately for me, she came out of it pretty well.
Yeah, that's risky when they don't.
And then the crazy lunatic said, can't the Athenian Nile do something for me? I'm a member of Athenian Nile.
That's whatever that is.
One of these upper class, like Bohemian Club, you know.
Oh,
not quite.
I see. Yeah.
But I said, no, they're a social club. They won't do for you anything for you medically. And secondly, not at this time of the night.
And this was down in New Orleans?
No, this was up here in Berkeley.
Oh.
See, the reception was at the Palace Hotel Garden Court.
I see. With Madame Chang?
Yes, but she just sat there like something to be beheld.
You never had the opportunity to meet the Generalissimo, though, himself.
No, he never came to the United States. He was never invited. Did
yes,
you know that?
There were.
They
not
liked
really.
Her, but he was never invited.
Well, she had the American education and all of that. And
she had American friends.
Quite a great fame.
And I have a short Chinese chapter. That is this exact replica of the gift she gave to her closest friend that Christmas of 1946. 47 or six, 46.
In 1943, Madame Chang came across the United States on a tour. Did you folks have any involvement with that? That was a fundraising effort as well.
Well, at the end of it was that reception and dinner.
Oh, I see.
My picture's in that, but I'd have to point it out to you.
I'd like to see that sometime.
Yes.
That's a very famous tour. It seems to affect all the Chinese.
Well, I couldn't stand her nephew.
Oh.
He was always, you know, running things.
For the whole...
And then I read Mrs. Ah.
Uh-huh.
And they said, who was your most difficult guest? And I think in that book she said, Madame Chang. But everybody had the story that she would sleep on nothing but silk sheets without regard for the fact that she was allergic to cotton or wool.
Well, that's the famous story.
Well, anyway, that's that.
Did you folks have to be part of the entourage as she traveled across the nation because your husband was part of the diplomatic corps or something?
Well, he didn't go.
He didn't go.
Her nephew did.
Her nephew did.
And her entourage.
Oh, okay. All you had to do was go through the welcomes and the receptions.
And then I had the privilege of meeting the famous Chinese lawyer that married Jiang Yuksao. Does that name you name it? She was the first Chinese woman to graduate in law in Paris, and she practiced in Shanghai. Mrs. Feng and I were at the same dinner party, but I found her rather vulgar.
At San Francisco? Or?
Yeah, and it was at the New Shanghai.
Restaurants in Chinatown.
And I had many dinners with Christopher and many dinners with
George
Warren.
Christopher?
Yeah, and yeah. Warren.
Yeah, Earl Warren.
When the Chans gave a dinner for Anna after her first best-selling book, Christopher came. And Mrs. Grady, you know, that went to India? Crashed the party. She sat across the street until she could figure some way to crash. But I didn't think much of Christopher, and I still don't. He's not a very educated man.
Well, he's worked himself up from the bottom. I mean,
he's
rather a businessman.
Rather a crude person.
Yes.
And Warren, and then I had Joseph R. Nolan and
yes, the newspaper man.
And I've had Bill Nolan and Helen, his wife here.
Yes, great senator.
And they have little Sin Lu, the baby.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's marvelous.
Oh, we've had lots of famous people. And Ma Hong Kwai, did you ever hear of him?
Yes, I think I heard
of him. Dong Samsung, Go-Go Bandit Chieftain.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, he used to come. And he'd have his secretary call. He's coming at such and such an hour. Will I have one pitcher of water and one pitcher of orange juice ready for me? Diabetic and drinking orange juice.
Yeah. Is this handled in English or in Mandarin?
He came to see the general.
Ah.
But I had to do all the work besides practice medicine, take care of the baby.
Well, the General Chennault was in residence here for a time as well?
Oh, he comes and goes.
Uh-huh.
Because he wanted to avoid the public places.
So he would quietly slip in.
But the press, the Parezzo, what are they called? Paparazzi,
yeah.
Would be there at 7 o'clock, cold as all get out, but they'd be
on
sitting
on your street
there,
right here.
Right on the next to the street.
I'll be darned.
And then the funniest thing of all was when I had to be the chauffeur to drive him and Admiral Cook of the Navy to the Commonwealth Club when the general was to speak. And there I was just tearing my hair and getting over there in time to the Palace Hotel for the Commonwealth Dinner Club, the luncheon. And so Admiral Cook and the General and Clara said to Mrs. Cook and me, "Well, I guess you girls will have a lunch at the coffee shop. We'll see you later." So we felt awfully put down, and we figured